that's everything. That should be everything. I mean, that's it right there. All these other things that we can and should give thanks for, the fact that the Lamb overcame. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We got into this scripture. We touched on it last week. Just to recap, last week, the message was topical in basically response to the election and just things that are going on in our country. And we were commanded in 1 John chapter 4, 21, to love one another. You know, we must have this love. And we spoke of what that word must means. And again, we're in Colossians chapter 3. It's from the root word of agape. It's agapeos, which means we should have. So basically, when we're walking in the love of God, there's a compulsion. We're compelled. We can't help it but to love and extend that love. So the tagline for last week's message was, a love embraced becomes a love extended. And today we're going to pick up on that message from last week with a special emphasis on Thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And this is where we left off last week. It says, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When I think of Thanksgiving, And by extension, just the holiday season, this the next month plus, the holidays are here. Christmas is my favorite holiday, hands down. I love the music, right, Keith? that's been like for 5 years. I get to giving him a hard time about that. Love Christmas music. Thanksgiving is my second favorite holiday. There's been a theme come up this last week, and I think it probably is true year in and year out. When we think of Thanksgiving in the holiday seasons, what's one of the first things that we think about? Food? Jackson would say food. Food, okay.
Football.
There you go, okay. The game is at noon, so I'll make this quick. What else do we think of? Let's just... What?
Family.
Family, okay. That's the word I was looking for. Hannah, what are you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say warm, awesome
colors. Warm, awesome colors of fall. That's right. And so just so y'all know, this is going to be very interactive today. I woke up with something on my heart. But we think of family. And I wanted to touch on that briefly before we continue. And I've thought of past family get-togethers, holidays, Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas Eve at our house. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm willing to bet that if you're anything like me, your family and some of your extended family, cousins, aunts, uncles, siblings, are a little bit, who said weird? Right? And if you don't have that, if you can't, well, my family's pretty normal, then you're probably the weird one in the family. That's just the truth. Dysfunctional is a good word. I mean, we're all, let's just admit it, let's just be honest. There's a little bit of dysfunctionalism, however you say that, in all of our families. All right, you're in college. Jay is giving me a crazy look. How do you say that? We're all a little bit dysfunctional. Sure, I will go with that one. There's a little bit of dysfunction in every family. You know, I used to have a crazy uncle in my family that was completely inappropriate with everything he said. You just kind of had to grit your teeth and deal with it at the holidays, and he's no longer with us, and I miss that. And I'm looking back, I'm thankful for the time that we had together. I remember a story I was thinking about this week. It was actually, it wasn't Thanksgiving, it was Christmas Eve a few years ago. I can't remember how many years ago now. Everybody met at our house. And I have like, I may be exaggerating by just a little bit, but I think we have 17,000 nieces and nephews. Is it somewhere, give or take 5,000? There's like so many kids, I have trouble keeping up with their names. It's just, each one of my siblings had multiple kids. My brother's on kid number 9. That is a true story. Yeah, it's like the Waltons or something. Just all these kids. So we're at my house. All these kids gather around. Big, big family. And it starts sleeting and icing outside. I don't remember how many years ago that was. And so some of my family, I was like, all right, let me try to give you a ride home. Some of my family showed up and they'd already been celebrating a little bit, I think is a nice way to put it. So it's icing outside. It's like, all right, get in the car, let me drive you home. We get out of, just pull out of my neighborhood, and the roads had deteriorated to the point that I slid off and ended up in the ditch. Christmas Eve. It's like, we have a problem. This isn't going to work. So I tell the family, I'm sorry, but it looks like we're trapped. You're going to spend the night at our house on Christmas Eve. So we go back, and I'm trying to put a different family in each room, and I have a family member say, all right, well, if you can't take me home, can we go get some alcohol? I'm like, true story. Dysfunction, I'm just saying, that's a true story. But I'm thankful for my family. I really am. It's the time of year where we should. And I've literally talked to so many people this week that they talk about problems they're having in their families, right? It's like the holidays seem to exasperate that, almost to a person. Believer or non-believer, it doesn't matter what your background is. Seems like we all, there's differences that we have. We talked about the difference in political views in different groups yesterday. Let's talk about family in the holidays today. I was reading quotes yesterday about it. There's a quote I really liked by the late George Carlin. I bet y'all don't think I was going to quote George Carlin this morning, but it said, he said, you know, I was at a really nice family restaurant last night. There was an argument at every table. You know, it's true. It happens. And so I woke up with something on my heart this morning. I have a message prepared, and I like to think I have really awesome points about why we should be thankful and what we should be thankful for. But it's going to be the best message that you've never heard because we're scrapping it this morning. We're a family, Kevin. We're a family, okay? So what I want to do is this is going to be open mic, okay? I want us to go around, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear, listen, why are we thankful? Stories, okay? I mean, we can get into Scripture. I could tell you the material things we should be thankful for, the way God's provided, okay? I have some really good points on some of the Greek words here. But that's not, I think, what's on my heart and where the Spirit's leading us this morning. We're a family. There's much that we're to be thankful for. And I shouldn't tell you what you need to be thankful for. I want to hear what you're actually thankful for, okay? I remember there's times, I only have one kid here, but there's times like my mother-in-law and I, just to be honest, didn't always get along so much in the past. I know it's cliche for a son-in-law to not get along with his mother-in-law. I love her dearly. She lived with us for a year and a half. We took care of her. But there's times in the past we didn't get along, but I can remember coming together Thanksgiving dinner, and all those differences were put aside. And just going around and doing this very thing. So listen, if you're not comfortable, we're doing away with the message this morning. We're family, we're going to talk, and so I'm just going to open it up. Who wants to share? Not everybody wants. Bree. Awesome.
Family split. It's the first time in quite a while that we had everyone, and I had I have a picture on my phone of the biggest smile I have ever seen on my Gigi's face in my entire life.
Now, who's Gigi?
My great-grandmother.
Okay.
I've never seen such a big smile on her face, and the night went as good as we could, honestly better than we probably could have imagined. So, especially with everything going on with my grandma and stuff, like just to be able to have the whole family there and at least for a few hours put away, you know, some troubles and be together is just absolutely amazing.
It's awesome. You can clap. You know, we talked last week about putting on the love of Christ. I told you a minute ago about my crazy Uncle Jerry, who's no longer with us. This was a man that I looked up to and respected as a kid. And I remember one Christmas, this guy was tough. I mean, he just was. And he wasn't always great at showing love. I knew that he loved me, but he wasn't always the best at showing it. And I remember one Christmas, the family's there, and we gave him a picture, a family picture, me and Pam and the kids, and to see the strong grown man break down and cry before me was something that I'll never forget. And if y'all have scripture too, listen, this we're freestyling this morning. All right? Yes.
So praise God, everyone. I'll turn around. I'm thankful for my family. And as we were driving in this morning, Mom Cindy did this thing where she sent out a little letter, and it just recapped what we did for that year. And she sent it out to when we were living in New York. So most of our friends got that, and they saw that we traveled, we did this. She had Thanksgiving by us. And I was thinking about that as we were going along. I think we need to do that again this year to let people know that we love God. God loves us, and He brings us through so many different things. And that even in our Sunday school this morning, I was reminded, Pam, I was reminded that the things that we go through is not just to go through it and say, God, get me out of it, but to know that God is going through with you, and He's not going to leave you in it. And you don't. I remember the things that you go through, He doesn't let you stay in it for long. So when you're going through it, take time. Say, God, I know that You're with me, and I know that you said in Your words that You'll never leave me nor forsake me, and I know that this is only a season. So along with that, remind us that, yes, we're thankful for our families. We can't change them. God is the one who's going to change them. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to change them. And even this week, I don't know if any of you know, last week I was in a car accident. And I talked myself into getting up after the 2 days the doctor said to stay put. I said to him, but I can't miss class. And he said, it's up to you to see, you know, how you feel. And then the first day came, and my class started at 1, and I was like, oh, my God, the doctor was right. He knows how our muscles are going to react, how our body's going to react. And he gave me 2 days to stay home, and I wanted to fight him and go to school on those 2 days. So when I woke up that morning and I couldn't move, you know, I moved, but I wasn't moving as normally as I was. I emailed my professors, and I said, you know, I was in a car accident, and I'm not going to be here today, and I'm not going to be here tomorrow. And so the following week, which is this week that passed, I had been taking the pills that they gave me to relax the muscles, and I stopped taking it because I was going to drive that day. By the time my class finished, I had to call Matthew. Matthew came and got me and took me to the ER because it was just, you could see it popping out right here, how it bulged out. And so the next day when I went through the emergency room, they gave me another thing that relaxed it, and I could actually talk, but then it made me sick. I'm sorry, I'm taking up time, but I'm going to get to the point. The point is that I saw a hearse go by, and I remember your word that, you know, God told the death angel to stand back and behave. Stay back and behave. And I was like, God, that could have been me. They could have been celebrating my home going. But I believe in my heart that God has us here. Each and every one of us have a purpose. And I say, okay, God, my purpose is not fulfilled yet. So that's why that car accident didn't take me out. So the song comes back. I'm not a good singer, but I love to sing. And I just want everybody to remember this song. It goes, I just want to take a little time right now to thank You, Lord, for all You have done for me. I just want to take a little time right now. I just want to thank You. I just want to thank You. I just want to thank you, Lord. And then you can fill it in with what you're thanking him for. If you hear me sing out through the house, I make the most noise in our house. You'll hear me thanking him. I say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my family's soul. Thank you for waking me up in my right mind this morning, because I could have woke up and not know where I am or who I am. You know, Alzheimer's is going around and all these different things is going around. I say, I thank you, Lord God, that I can come and be amongst my brothers and sisters and to share and to give God the glory, for he is worthy of the glory. So right. We have to remember that. This is so perfect to take this time out just to thank God for all those different things going on in our lives. And yes, our families are dysfunctional, but guess what? God is in control. And even those little things and idiosyncrasies that they have, God will use that. He will get the glory out of each of our lives. So that's my prayer this morning, that God will continue getting the glory out of all our lives as we stay together and be thankful to him. Amen?
Amen. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and then singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. You know, we see that through some of the psalms. Psalm 30, David talks about that he's so overjoyed that he says, may my heart sing and not be silent. And I think that's to speak exactly to what Lydia was expressing. That is awesome. Who's next? Come on, guys. All right.
I don't need a microphone.
That's
but I'm thankful for how I believe God intervened in this previous election. And it just shows, you know, not only do we have dysfunctional families individually, you know, we have a dysfunctional country. And I think that we're at a point that we can use that. I'm not sure, you know, one man's dysfunctional family is another man's, you know, and there's different terminologies for it, you know. Maybe they think they're just hilarious. But I just think that, you know, I feel optimistic about the future. I feel that we'll never, ever see eye to eye on everything, on every issue, just like with our own particular families, you know. But I'm just so thankful for that. I feel calm in my heart, you know. I'm optimistic that, you know, I'm hoping that things are going to...
Well, it's scary times. You know, we talked about it last week. You know, perfect love casts out fear. You know, as we draw closer to him, we mature in that love. Well, that fear subsides. We know he's in control. Who's next?
Jacob.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just
kind of
like hearing my voice.
Okay. Even when things are tough. That's good. Let's give it up for Jacob. Even through the difficult times, There's people I know that they're cycled through the holidays. This is the first holiday season after losing a loved one, after losing a parent. And it's difficult. And knowing that God is sovereign and God is good, and we can thank Him even in the difficult times. That's good. Verse 15, Colossians 3, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And that peace of Christ really is, it speaks to a tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation. We're assured of our salvation. We're going to go through difficult times in this life. There's no way around it. But we're assured of our salvation. That's something to be thankful for. And there's no fear in that. Who's next? Awesome. I knew it. You need a microphone.
I probably don't need a mic, but I feel like...
All right. And we'll get it recorded.
Okay. So I have a few things to be thankful for. Number one, I'm thankful for my family, obviously. Number two, I'm thankful in about, 25 days, I think, I'm graduating from the University of North Texas. So excited about that. And then just kind of what Lydia was saying, I'm thankful that God takes us through things and then He brings us out of it. I'm not going to go into detail, but basically, I didn't want to cry, but. The devil has been trying me for like a month, and I didn't want to cry. He's been trying me for a month, you know. Took me away from things that were important. Took me away from what God was trying to do. Try to keep me away from church. Try to keep me away from friends. Try to keep me away from things I wanted to do, you know. So I'm thankful that God brought me back. So thankful that He is always here. And a verse that I found is... from Psalms 9, those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So I'm happy He brought me back, and I'm happy that the devil is nowhere to be found at the moment. So praise God.
Who's next? She had her hand up.
And I'm crying before I start. That's not a good sign.
Okay. So I was reading in the Word recently with my kids, and I'm very grateful that the Lord reminded me of this. Back in college, I very rarely remember dreams. Very rarely. It's just not in me, whatever reason. But I woke up one morning and I remembered my dream. I had been walking along and I saw a child sitting on a curb on the side of the road. And I sat beside that child and I wanted so badly to tell them about Jesus. And in my heart, in that dream, I asked the Lord, Lord, what do I tell them? What do I tell them? And I woke up the next morning and I was just reading my quiet time, and I didn't at that point remember even the dream. And as I was reading, I came across a psalm, and the entire psalm says, tell the next generation about the mighty deeds of God. But tell the next generation the deeds, wonderful deeds that your God has done. Make certain that the next generation knows of the mighty deeds that God has done. The entire psalm said 5 or 6 different times what to tell the child. Tell the child about God's mighty deeds. I was blown away that even a dream, God answered my question. And I was meeting a fellow, our campus minister. I was meeting him for prayer that morning. And he says to me, you're not going to believe what I read in the Word this morning. It's the coolest verse. And I'm bringing it up because in my quiet time with my children this week, this is the verse that the Lord gave us, and it's the same verse so many years ago that this man had shared with me. But I will teach my beloved even in his sleep. What a verse. He will teach his beloved even in his sleep. And no coincidence that I go to meet this guy and that's the verse. And so just this week even, Lord, there's so many times that I don't know what to do. There's so many, I need wisdom. I don't have answers. I need wisdom. And he assures me that he will give me that wisdom. He says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him come to God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. So he will give us that wisdom, and he will teach me, even in my sleep, if I ask him.
Awesome. You know, we're called, you know, Christ is our ultimate example of how we should live. Verse 17 says, "And whatever you do," and this goes with what Sandra just said, "in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, even as he teaches us as we sleep." Who's next?
Good morning, everybody. I think there should be, sorry for my voice, but I think it should be pretty obvious some of the things that I'm thankful for. This wonderful woman right here that a lot of you have known for like most or all of her life. And then our little one, obviously, that we're expecting in spring. Very, very thankful for that, of course. And then my two girls and the way that she has just embraced them and loves them as her own, which is pretty wonderful as well. I'm also thankful for several years I went to the Village Church. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's in Han Village, and they have satellites all over the place, and it's sort of a mega church in a way. Great. Matt Chandler's an amazing preacher. I really like hearing him. I don't know if anybody's read his books, but they're pretty phenomenal. But going there, I always just kind of felt like I was part of a giant herd. Like, it was great hearing the message, but, man, you felt like every week you didn't know anybody because it was just so massive. And so then when Taylor and I started seeing each other and started deciding, you know, where we're going to go, and kind of I visited here, and then she went to the Village one time, and we really just sat and prayed, and I felt absolutely sure that the Lord was leading me to, you know, hey, you need to kind of get out of the herd and get somewhere where it's more familial, and undoubtedly I felt that here, and I just want to say I'm thankful for all of you guys and the way you've all welcomed me here, and you know, everybody in this service as well as the other one. It really feels good to walk in and actually know some people's names, have people know your name, and they genuinely care about you, and you know, send you a text and see how you're doing, or ask how your wife is by name and those kind of things. So I just want to say I'm thankful for Shady Shores Baptist Church, and I'm really excited about what the Lord's doing with everybody, and what, you know, he's going to guide me to do in the future, you know, for his glory here or wherever he leads us. So I just want to say I'm thankful for you guys, and really just we're really blessed to be in a country where, you know, we can worship here in public and not have to worry about, you know, the police dragging you off or anything like that. So just thank you guys for, you know, all you've done as far as raising her up. Kind of some of you have kind of raised her up as the godly woman that she is, and I appreciate that. So
we gotta get it on recorded. We gotta record. Yeah.
All right. I'm thankful mostly for the promises that God has made to us. And his steadfastness and the fact that he keeps his promises. Most of them the heavy ones. The fact that there will be a final day. There will be a final calling. And there will be a time when all that creation has grown for, all of creation, every little piece of animal, every little piece of ground that we eat up as humans, that one day all of creation will be redeemed. Not just those who walk and believe and those who are separated, but all of creation will be redeemed. The lion will lay down with the lamb. They'll be led by a little child, but there will be peace amongst all of God's creation, and that promise is assured without doubt. Another promise that I turn back to a lot is Jeremiah 33 and 34. It's a new covenant, but he says, "This is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." And I love the promise of that day. If we were at that day, we would not have as many denominations as we have. We wouldn't have infighting and this and that. We would no longer need proselytizing or converting, but that day is assured, where instead of looking to change the way that our brother or our sister may believe, we come and we rejoice in the full knowing without a doubt in the Lord and in his glory and in his truth. That promise is assured, and that day is assured, and that is something that I'm very, very thankful for. I'm also thankful for just the amazing things that we've had the opportunity to see God do through this little church. There was a picture on there 4 years ago or 5 years ago of Kirk that popped up sitting on the drum stand when we were over in the RF Precision in the manufacturing facility on one of the drum stands, tuning up. You know, it's been an interesting and a little bit of a long road, and there's been so many, many blessings that have come along the way. The band has taken all kinds of different amazing shapes, you know, from Kirk drumming a little bit and George being steadfast and plugged in there and Jaya, the times that we struggled through me picking songs or whatever and trying to lead rehearsal, and just really the blessing of God bringing the Gillum family to us. And, you know, all the families have been brought through, you know, Miss Lydia and everything, and just seeing the beautiful growth in Jerry and Sanja and just the retuning of the sound and just the wonderful, wonderful blessings that is, because you walk through this sometimes and it gets burdensome sometimes. But if we're watchful to see how the Lord carries those burdens for us and walks us through that, then we get to see the glory of the Lord work in many, many people's lives. And that's just been a blessing, and I'm very, very thankful to have witnessed it.
That's awesome. Let's go ahead and have the band come back up. And it's funny, you hit Jeremiah chapter 33. Was that 33? Mike probably is going to need this mic. 31? Well, I turned to Jeremiah 33 when you started talking. Jeremiah, and I think this is where we're left this morning. Jeremiah 33, verse 11 says, "The voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing," listen to this, church, "as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. For his steadfast love endures forever." How awesome is that? I turn right to that in Jeremiah 33. So let's stand up and give a thanks offering today. We're not going to do an invitation. If you want to stay in prayer with me afterwards, we can. But right now, let's just stand up and give a thanks offering with our voices.
Hoop and holler.
Yeah, praise God.
say something about football earlier?
Oh, it was. Okay, so I'll send out a list so we won't have practice, obviously.
Thank you. It was game day Saturday. We started daging at 8 a.m. trying to get weird. Jerseys were on and our face paint was boss.
Yeah, we looked glitter AF. Betty went hard with a selfie stick and I was like, grandma, tag me.
These parking lot extras started looking at us like squad goals, trying to...
will speak for the hopeless. Ones who never had any chance to even dream of a better way, of a better day, to be better than the ones in the past. Can I look inside the mirror and think, Manny, what are you doing? Hardest question that I had to ask, because the answer came fast. It was not improving. I could read every scripture till the world God is real, Jesus saves. But then ignore that I'm more slaves now than in any other time in history. Wait, is that true? I mean, for real, how could that possibly be? That's why I cry out for God, do something, help us believe. Judge them, try to hush them, hoping that they fall in line. But they need to know anything's possible, nothing's out of reach if you just have faith. No, you're not alone, doesn't matter what the world says, you ain't gotta stay in your place. There's a great big world just waiting, waiting to scream your name. Cause what you have inside can change them. This is way more than fame. This is the revolution, the blueprint of a new day, everybody's hope of change. This is your time, the freedom is yours. Lift your voice and sing.
Trapping. Started, the sky is falling.
till all my people caught up. Yeah, I can feel it. I can
feel heaven falling down all around me. I can feel heaven falling down all around me. I can feel it. I can feel it.
Trap it.
Majesty, willing to take the oath?
I am willing.
Your sister is now the most famous woman in the world.
A symbol of modernity, change, and progress.
Never let them see that carrying the crown is often a burden.
Your life feels like it don't make sense.
Still fly.